For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, September the 2nd, 1983. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Steve Bell of Dallas, Texas, is the speaker of the afternoon.
Give us receptive hearts in the name of Jesus. Lord, Father, let the word come in truth by the Spirit. Father, we know that without you we're nothing, but in you we're everything. And so, Father, we ask you to anoint us. Bless this word. Let it come forth in clarity and understanding. Lord, let it come forth and bring deliverance and healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, for a mighty healing and deliverance in this place. We ask you that your word be like a powerful sword. In Jesus' name, Father, that it bring, Lord, encouragement and strength to all of us. Lord, bless this gathering. Bless Brother Kelly. Bless us as we bring the word, Father, in Jesus' name. Let us be led of the Spirit. Let us minister in the Spirit, Lord. Let us praise and worship you in the Spirit. Lord, we submit ourselves to you and to one another in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And to some of you, this will maybe be a review. To some of you, it might be something new. But I just feel the commission of the Holy Spirit to be as basic and as simple as I possibly can today in this word. So if that's lends some impatience to some of you, praise God, let it work in you. For it does a perfect work, praise God. Now, in the first part of this chapter, you know that it's talking about Israel. And we'll not take time to read all of it. But primarily look down there in the sixth verse. It says, now these things, talking about their experiences coming out of Egypt, coming through the Red Sea and so on, were our examples. They were our figures, our types, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And then down in verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, our types, and they are written for our admonition, our rebuke, our warning, upon whom the ends of the world, our age, are come. Now, the foundation of the New Testament is, of course, laid in the Old. And there's nothing old about the Old Testament. In fact, it's becoming fresher and newer each day as we dig in the Word. Amen? Praise God. I just wanted to call these scriptures out to you. Now, I want you to go over to the book of Deuteronomy, and let's go to the Old Testament, and let's go to the sixth chapter, and we're going to dig around in the Word a little bit here. Praise God. And let's go to the 20th verse of Deuteronomy 6. And it says, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondsmen or bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might what? Bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Now let's go on into the seventh chapter. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. All right? We're going to stop right there. Now, when God touched our lives a little over 6 years ago, and we had spent some... Well, we've both grown up. My wife and I had both grown up in the Baptist church. And I felt the call to preach, as we called it, when I was about 17 years old. And under the direction of the leadership, I went into the ministry. And soon after that, when I was about 21 years old, 22, I began to pastor in the Baptist denomination, Southern Baptist, up in Southern Illinois. And we were there for 8 years, and I'll not go into that. I think I've told that before. But out of discouragement and other things, we left the church. We left the ministry for almost 10 years, got involved in other things. And then about a little over 6 years ago, the Lord came into our life, and we saw the Lord. Now, this was quickened to me in the Word the other day whenever I was reading about Paul's experience on the road to Damascus. And it said that there were men standing there with him. They heard a voice, but they saw no one. And for many years, I'd heard a voice. But it wasn't till a little over 6 years ago that I saw someone. And then I was changed forevermore. And it's important that we not only hear a voice, but that we see him. Praise God. But what I'm getting to is this. Whenever I came to the Lord some 6 years ago, and began to want to serve him with all my heart and all my soul and all my might, I began to realize that there were things that were working against me, that there were obstacles, and there were things in my emotional makeup and in my mind and in my will that began to fight against me in my desire to serve the Lord. And I began to cry out to God. And not only that, but within a few months, and I don't think there was wisdom in it, but nonetheless, in a few months, we got involved in ministry again and were called to pastor a group of people, of about 30 people, and the work began to grow. And within about 3 months, we had over 300 people, and in essence, I was only about 7 months old in the things of the Holy Spirit, and there I was trying to pastor this thing, and all kinds of things began to happen, and I began to cry out to God and fast and pray, both the wife and I. And I'll never forget that we had ended about a 5-day fast, and we went to a full gospel businessmen's convention there in Dallas, a regional convention. And at the men's luncheon on Saturday, God gave me a vision. And I've never had one like it since. It was almost an open vision right there at the lunch table right in front of the dais. I just got caught away in the Spirit, and God showed me some things about the ministry that he was calling me into. But... The thing that began to open up to me was this thing of deliverance. And I began to get books, tapes. You know how whenever God's doing something in your life, if you're in his school, that he'll bring people across your path, and there'll be a strategic book. There'll be a tape someone will hand you, or a series of tapes, and you'll say, thank God for that. Thank God for that. There's no school like his school. I'm thoroughly convinced, like Brother Varner, that the training ground for ministry is in the local church. That's where it's always meant to be, and that's where it should be, in the local body. But nonetheless, God will train us. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth if we'll let Him, if we'll be teachable, if we'll not set ourselves up for any blind spots in our lives. Now, let me tell you something that God has opened me up to do more than once in my walk. And I think, in my personal understanding, it's been tremendously beneficial to me. Because I feel like I've been tremendously blessed in 6 years. I think God's given me a lot of things. He's brought people across my path and brought me into contact with things and opened up doors for me. And I think one of the key things is, and I'm not bragging, don't hear me wrong, but one of the key elements in our life is a teachable spirit. And any time we come to any area in our life where we're going to shut that off and not hear anything, we're in trouble. Because we're going to set ourselves up to be deceived. And we're going to set ourselves up to harden ourselves in one area, and we can't afford that. So the Lord has taught me by the Spirit, and I know it's not a new revelation to some of you, but and it's not new to me anymore, but nonetheless, this might help somebody. I think somebody needs to hear this. We need to come from time to time, fall on our face before the Father, and say, Father, I open my life up to You, and I give You permission to show me any blind spot, any unteachableness, any deception in my life. I ask You to do that, no matter how hard it'll be, no matter what it'll shake out of my life, but Lord, I ask You for that in the name of Jesus. And then hang on, or something's going to happen. Now, I want to encourage you also, because I need encouragement. But I'm not saying anything to condemn you. But I'm saying that all of us have got some areas that we need to open ourselves up and let the Lord bring us new life. That's the only way we can grow. The depths and the dimensions of this revelation is never ending. There, I don't believe we'll ever come to a place where we can close this book and say, that's it. I believe in the millennium, this is going to be my handbook. And the Holy Spirit's showing me, son, you better know this book from kiver to kiver, so to speak, because you're going to be using it for a long, long time. And I can just see men in the millennium, overcomers with their rod of iron, and this is it. And someone comes and says, well, what do we do about this overcomer? Well, let's see here. This is what it says. Do right here. And that, to me, is my understanding. And we don't even know what's in here yet. Praise God. And that excites me. So somehow or another, I've got to find a balance between being not deceived and not open to every wind of doctrine, but yet be open and teachable to the truth. Now, I like what the attitude of the Bereans would say. They would search the Scriptures daily to see what? Who knows? If these things be true. It's a positive attitude instead of a negative attitude. You get the Bible saying, I'm going to see. That sounds wrong to me. I'm going to prove that wrong. I'm going to find Scripture to disprove that. And that attitude has been one of our problems. But it's this attitude, Lord, that sounds strange to my ear. But let me put that on the shelf until I get some time, and then let me go search the Word and see if that be true. And if I can't find it to be true in the Word, then I'll discard it and wait on something else. Praise God. Amen? Are you with me? All right. Now, so the Lord began to bring into our life all these things about deliverance. Now, I hardly believed in the devil. I mean, the devil was some kind of a force, you know, or something out there, but he wasn't important. He wasn't significant. He was just the devil. Maybe he was a figurative type of thing. Now, that's what I've been taught. But, you know, as all of us probably experienced, if when we received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we not only stepped into the Spirit of God's world, but we stepped into the spirit world, period, and we found out that there were other things out there besides the Holy Spirit. Amen? How many of you found that to be true? Praise God. So we become more aware that there was something personal about this thing called Satan. And then we begin to find out that there were things called demons. And I don't understand completely yet. I can't give you a treatise and an exhaustive study about what demons are or where they came from. I know that some folks have gotten into error trying to probe and ask demons where they came from. stay away from that. But the Lord began to show me that He wanted me to come and study the wiles and the ploys and the activities of the devil so that we as His people may not be ignorant of His devices, as Paul says. Now, so, as we began to teach that, we found out that it stirred up a lot of things other than what we wanted to be stirred up. And as is with a lot of folks that got into this, we kind of came in through it through experience. There was a person that we were praying with, and we had been in a little prayer meeting on a Wednesday night, a little group, about 10 or 15 of us, and we'd been praising the Lord and singing and glorifying God and so on. And this one person, this lady, had given a beautiful song unto the Lord. And there was an interpretation. And it was just a sweet time. And a brother had come there for prayer. And they were going to, this was his fiance. And we were going to pray for him. And we set him down in the chair and we began to lay hands on him and began to pray for him. And lo and behold, we turned around and his fiance was lying on the floor, slithering like a serpent. Her tongue was flickering in and out. The pupils of her eyes had turned into diamond shapes. And this low masculine voice was calling out of her and speaking to us and mocking us. Now, what do you do when your praise service gets messed up like that? I mean, what do you do? Just say, just ignore her. You know, she'll get over it. Or, so, praise the Lord. We listened to some tapes. We'd read a little bit. And so we decided we'd rebuke the devil in spite of the hair standing up on the back of our heads. And so we began to rebuke this spirit. We began to minister to her. And it mocked us. It talked to us. It slithered. It did the whole bit. Now, I know that a lot of folks think that it's important that you have manifestations in deliverance. I don't necessarily feel that way. But I found this to be true, that sometimes God will allow extreme manifestations in the midst of a lot of disbelievers about this ministry. We were in a church a couple of weeks ago up in the Philadelphia area, and we were just there two nights, and the second night I began to minister mass deliverance, and I've never seen such pandemonium in all of my life. I was the only one in the building not manifesting demons, including my wife. That's a nervous laugh, I can tell. But the angels and the Holy Spirit would not allow things to get out of hand. Because I don't believe that we got to put on a show. We got to get free is what we got to do. Hallelujah. All right. Now back to chapter 7. Now, as basically as I can say it, brothers and sisters, we see the type of deliverance in these giants and kings and tribes that were in the promised land. Now, they were there for a reason, and God did not automatically remove them. They had to be dealt with. They had to be encountered. God says, the land is yours. It's been yours since I gave it to your father Abraham. They'd never lived in it. They'd never possessed it. And God held that land until the iniquity of those tribes became full. Now, He's a just God. And God's not just going to go in someplace and kick somebody out, even to put His sons in there. But so He let the iniquity of those Canaanites and Philistines and Perizzites and Hivites mature. And He says, okay, I'm ready to judge them now and go and destroy them, and then possess the land. Now, it's as simple as that. Where's the land? Where's earth? Where's dust? Right here. Amen? Jesus says, my kingdom's not of this world. But the kingdom of God comes without observation. Where is it? It's in me. I'm the earth. I'm the promised land. This is what God wants to redeem now. Not a plot of ground over in the Mideast. He's after a plot of ground right here in Hot Springs. And I'm part of that plot. So praise God. The good news is that He's given me possession. The other side of the coin is, when I go in to get it,
There's something there that wants to oppose me. There are entities there. There are Hivites. There are Canaanites. There are Perizzites. Now, the good news is that I have the anointing, I have the authority to deal with those things. But it's not by ignoring them. I have got to deal with them. I've got to get my sword out. I've got to wield my sword, divide between soul and spirit, and deal with those entities and drive them out. I cannot lose. I absolutely cannot lose as long as I go in the faith of God and on the promise of God. I cannot fail. Now, that's where a lot of us have gotten tripped up in this ministry. We just put a little newsletter out. And I'll not go into all the details of it. But Lord really spoke to me about writing a little article in there about that touches on this. And what I've seen as we've traveled some in the last year, I've seen, first of all, I've seen a remnant of people scattered all over the face of this country. I've been everywhere, but I've been on both coasts in the last year. And I go here and there, and I'll find 50, 60 here, 100 or 200 here. And there are people that are not only being shaken, but there are people that are hungry for God. They're hungry for His Word. And more than that, they're hungry for His holiness and righteousness in their life. And that's what's such a joy of this ministry, because it draws those people that are reaching out saying, I want to get free. I'm willing to do anything to get free. I'm willing to lay down my pride. I'm willing to give up my theology. I'm willing to put away my traditions. And whatever it takes, I want to get free. And so we get to minister to the cream of the crop, as far as I'm concerned. Hallelujah. But I have seen folks that have gotten into this ministry and they've begun to put their faith in the wrong thing. Now, remember this. Deliverance is absolutely 100% a faith ministry. We cast out demons by faith. Praise God. I said, I'll try it on this side. We cast out demons by faith. Man, y'all are so serious. Well, it usually happens this way, the first service. Remember in Mark 9, Jesus told the man came and says, Lord, do something about my son. The demons cast him in the fire. They cast him in the water. And what did Jesus say to him? He says, if thou believest, all things are possible.
Lord.
The man says, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Now, there was a key there, see. If thou believest. Now, one of the greatest ploys of our adversary is this. I ain't really there. You can just ignore me. I'm just a spirit. Don't worry about me. Why, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus paid it all. It's done. How come so many people are hurting if it's done? How come some are still clawing and scratching and calling out to God and standing on the Word and fasting and praying and they're still not free if it's done? I'd like to turn my back on it. I'll tell you what, I've tried many times to get out of this. Sometimes it's like an albatross around my neck. Brother Bell, would you come and do deliverance? Will you? Somebody somewhere say, just come and preach, Brother Bell. I can preach a kingdom message, a pretty tough one, praise God. The Lord showed me almost 6 months in the Lord. I saw it. I put away awe. I said, Lord, if they told me wrong about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what else did they lie to me about? And there went the rapture right quick. Hallelujah. And then when I saw the sonship message, whoo, praise God. I literally got up from my desk one night and ran down the street. When God opened that up to me, I ran out the front door and ran down the street, shouting right down the middle of the street. Because God gave me a glimpse of Feast of Tabernacles, and I don't even know what I saw, but I saw something, and it was so great, I just had to shout. Praise God. Praise God. But He also showed me that one of the ways, one of the tools of getting that. Now listen to me. Some of you need to hear this. I know this. Deliverance is not the total answer. Deliverance is just a tool. It's just what we got to use. There's some things that only deliverance will do. But it's not the only thing. The Word will drive demons out. Praise will drive demons out. And there's some things that we just don't need to cast a demon out about. There's other things needed besides just casting demons out. Amen? Now, for some reason, folks have trouble hearing that. I'm glad it's on the tape. It's not a panacea. I don't think that's ever been preached in this place. I've never heard it preached here. We see it as a tool. But brothers and sisters, it's a key. It's a tool that we got to have. The one thing, I'll say it, you've heard it before. I'll say it again, for some of you haven't heard this. The one unique thing about the ministry of our Lord was the casting out of demons. And if I don't cast out demons, I'm not a full gospel preacher. Now also, if I just cast out demons, I'm not a full gospel preacher. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I said, Lord, one day I said, Lord, why? Why do we have to go on and on and on about deliverance? He says, because there's so few that will take it, and I want that message given, son. And I knew 4 years ago when God put me in this and said, I want you to be the voice for deliverance in Dallas. There'd been another brother there that'd been strong, but he laid it down. And God says, I want you to get on the radio. I want you to be a voice. I want you to publicize. I want you to send out tapes. And I said, Lord, you know what they're going to say? He's out of balance. Now, I didn't prophesy that to make it come to pass. God just showed me that. See, he's out of balance. And that's one of the ploys of the enemy. They're out of balance. That's all they teach on. That's all they preach on is deliverance. Well, that's not true. But to have a balanced message, you better have some of this. You better have some of this. Now, there's something I want to get to here. I want to be sure that you are very clear. If you'll just read this with an open heart and open spirit, you'll see that there are giants in the land, and the giants got to be cast out, dealt with, confronted, gone to war against, before we can totally possess the land. Amen? Is that everybody clear on that, what I'm saying? Whether or not you agree with it, but at least you understand what I'm trying to communicate. All right? Amen? How many understand what I'm trying to communicate? Wave at me. Praise the Lord. Hello. Well, you're awake out there. It's afternoon, isn't it? Right after lunch. Praise God. Now, all right. Now, look over in Deuteronomy, in the 7th chapter, 22nd verse. It's also, you'll find it in Exodus 23, but we'll just pick it up here in Deuteronomy 7:22. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. There's nobody that more desires that I could walk up and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be free! And that'd be it. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Now, about certain things, we can do that. But brothers and sisters, it's here. By little and little. That's God's principle, not mine. Now, let me see if I can visualize another picture for you. I'll not read the rest of that right now. Here's the land. Over here is emotional. Over here's mind. Over here's will. Over here's body, flesh, organs, heart, liver, kidneys, stomach. It's my land. God promised He's going to redeem us spirit, soul, and body. He's going to glorify this thing. Woo! I like to preach on that sometime. Hallelujah. And I am given a commission of the Lord to possess it. To have dominion. Now see, that's the problem, isn't it? Dominion. Dominion over the belly. Dominion over the mind. Dominion. See. I mean, I like the way I saw Brother Frank teach it one time. What if your hand started hitting you on the head like this? What would you do? Well, I just stop it. Why don't you do that with some of the thoughts that come in your mind? You don't have to think them. You don't have to think anything you don't want to think. Praise God. Somebody needed to hear that too, didn't they? But I go in to take dominion, and I find something standing there challenging me. Now, there's a part of me that's real. I am a soul. And I've got a personality that expresses that soul through my emotions, through the way I talk, the way I think, the way I express myself. I'm a personality. I'm unique. All of you are unique. You know that. God, there's no two of you alike in all of God's creation. Never will be, never was. Hallelujah. A real self. And God made you that way because you're special to Him. But there are aspects that express themselves through me that are not the real me. And I know it. I know there's things operating in my life. That's not me. I don't want to be that way. And I fight with it. I get the word and I say, oh, I'm going to quote that scripture. And I'm going to fast about it. I'm going to do this. And I can't get the victory. And praise God, that's what happened to me. I began to say, hey, there are giants in this land. And there's only one way to deal with them. That's to speak to them and tell them to get out. And I begin to cast them out. And I begin to change. I've got testimony of it right here. She'll stand up and tell you. My daughter will tell you what the old Steve Bell used to be like. And the changes that have come in my life. And it's not just deliverance. It's the word and other things. But much of it. There were spirits in this land. There were giants in this land. And nothing moved them until I took the authority. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And he says, I'm going to sit and wait until my enemies be made what? My footstool. Who's going to make them his footstool? We are. And we're going to make them that way by the power of the word going out, by our praise going up, and some of them we're just going to point our finger in their eye and say, get! In the name of Jesus, get out of here! I'm going to use every weapon I've got. Amen? Now, I go into that land, and I cast out the giant, and what have I got? Nothing. Now, here's the problem that I've seen. Deliverance, 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 deliverance. Won't do it. It's negative. It's negative. It doesn't build you up. It doesn't mature you. All it does is clear the land. And in Matthew 18, Jesus said, a sower went forth to what? Sow. What did he sow in? What was the thing that he sowed in? People. Soil. Earth. What earth? My earth. But if there's something in there that's going to steal the word before it can even get in the ground, how can it grow? So we get the vultures out and then it can fall. Now see what I see. One of the most tremendous things of deliverance is this. Is preparing good ground. Good ground. Now see, if I can do anything here in the ministry, I told Kelly last night, I said, I work at the dung gate. We're rebuilding the city, and somebody's got to work at the dung gate. You know what the dung gate was, don't you? That's where they carried all the garbage out of the city. So if I can help get some of the giants and the garbage out, and then he can put the word in. Hallelujah. That's all right with me. He that's faithful over a few things, I'll make him ruler over many. Hallelujah. So Lord, help me be faithful with the dung gate. Praise God. Hallelujah. But brothers and sisters, if we get caught up, see, now, deliverance is such a, what's the word? I don't like the word soulish. The Lord, in my studies of the Word, showed me that we're either carnal or spiritual. There's no place in the Word that we find soulish. The will, my will is in my soul, And my will either lead me to reach toward the carnal side of me or reach toward the spirit side. That's what it says in Romans 7. Amen? My soul is neutral. And in fact, I got a little thing from Praise Tabernacle just this last week, and it was written by one of the brothers there, Brother York, and he's talking about that man has no nature. That's a brave statement. But he says that all we are is vessels, and it's the truth, that expresses whatever deity is sitting on the throne. Amen. We have this treasure in earthen what? Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the what? All the branch does is express what the vine is. All the vessel does is express what's poured in it. Amen? Amen? Now that's important, see. So, I don't really have a nature. All I'm doing is expressing the nature of the deity or deities that are within me. Now, I see the soul of most of us in the process of deliverance as a mixture. It's a mixture. Jesus is Lord of most. I'll be positive. But not of all yet. And so we take the land little by little, and we find another area. We cast out that thing that's expressing itself through the vessel, and then before we can do anything else, we put the Word in there in order that the Word might begin to express itself in the nature of Jesus Christ. So if I have an area in my life where I'm not able to express His nature, it might be that I need some deliverance in that area. Because one thing God's after is to incarnate the Word. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What God wants is this being that. He wants to get this Word in us. And that's the new covenant. I'll write it on your heart. I'll write it on your heart. You'll become the in-flesh Word of God. Amen? All right. So, we encounter the giants. We have authority. But the thing that I was getting at is this. Folks get to putting their focus on the demons instead of on the Word. Folks begin to put their faith in the manifestations instead of in the Lord. Deliverance is a faith ministry. I don't care whether I see a manifestation or not. I believe that I have authority. And then when I take that authority and I move in the Spirit and I speak until it's done, something has got to happen. God's teaching me something about deliverance. I don't believe in speak and it is done. I believe that anointing may come. But I know a lot of people that have been spoken to be healed and they're not healed. I know a lot of folks have been prophesied to about blessing and they don't have them yet. All right? Let's be fair now. Let's be fair. All right? Now, number two, I believe that God is doing a thing and He's building our faith in this ministry, because here of late, there's been some people that we've ministered to and we've ministered and we've known in our heart that, praise God, the anointing was there and that something was happening, but we didn't see anything. There wasn't any coughing, there wasn't any vomiting or any of those things that some folks find repulsive. I find them joyous. And praise the Lord, a day, 2 days later, one brother told me, I ministered to him. He'd been into martial arts. He'd been into all kinds of things. It's quite a story. I ministered to him, and there was a little manifestation and so on, but no apparent breaking in him. And finally, about 4 days later, he came to me and he says, boy, the pressure's been on for 4 days. But he says, this morning in my prayer time, it broke, and all of that left me, and I'm free.
Praise your Lord.
And I said, praise God, Father, you're showing me something that if I'll stand in faith, when I speak to those things, they got to go. If I hold my confession, they have got to go. It may be a day. Paul didn't cast him out instantly. Within the hour, it said that the demon left. But it left that little girl. Amen? We had a little girl. They brought her in. She was epileptic. I shared about her the last time I was here. And we ministered to her, and she just laid there, half asleep. And we finally, after about 15, 20 minutes, just laid her on the floor, and she went to sleep. And we talked for an hour or so, and they got up and left. They called me back and says, all the way home, she vomited, and she woke up free of her epilepsy. Hallelujah. The Lord says the land will vomit him out. It's right here in the Word. You got a problem with vomiting? It's in the Word. It's in the Word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, one other thing I know. God doesn't want me to defend deliverance. God doesn't want me to defend deliverance. If you think this is a defense or an apologetic, you're wrong. I'm just laying out the basic here. We don't have to defend the faith. See, we just walk in. It's got its own defense. And also, you know, we try to defend it sometimes. And that's the worst thing we can do. Because number two, it comes by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. I can't convince anybody of the reality of deliverance. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. I found that out. I've quit arguing with people. I've quit debating whether or not a Christian can have a demon. You either see it or you don't. I mean, you just see it or you don't. Praise God. And I don't condemn you if you don't. I want to fellowship with you. I wish more of us would. Because I'm finding out that I don't have the problem. It's them that's got the problem. So that shows me that maybe they need a little deliverance. Now, another dimension is this. One of the obstacles we face in teaching this ministry, especially to new people, is that when we begin to teach this or get in the environment where it's ministered, it stirs up the demons in the people that don't believe. And they misunderstand that. There's probably some of you out here this afternoon that maybe feel a little angry toward me. You don't like me. What have I done to you? Well, see, that's a demon. That's a demon. And it'll get stirred up around deliverance, especially when group deliverance starts. You'll find yourself getting stirred up. You'll find yourself getting nervous. You'll find yourself getting restless. You'll find yourself needing to go to the bathroom. You'll find yourself getting angry. You'll find yourself, your head swimming a little bit. You'll find yourself wishing you were somewhere else, maybe going to sleep. Whatever the demon can do to get you to check out, because he knows that the heat's on and that if you get responsive at all, he's going to have to check out. So keep that in mind. Some of you have been stirred up. Some of you came at me already and said, Brother Bell, I'm just boiling inside. Things going on inside. See? Hallelujah. Well, the Word's working, see, for one thing. But those demons know that this is one place where they'll all get cast out. And they're scared. They believe and tremble. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, now one last thing. We'll close. Let's go over to the book of Judges. Joshua 18. Let's start in Joshua 18. The whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh, set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. It means it was tread down. The word means to disregard, to bring into bondage. In verse 2, and there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Now, let's go over to Judges. Judges, first chapter. Now, down in the first chapter, about the 19th verse, it says, and the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb. And Moses said, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. And verse 27 is another one. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Now, let's go over to chapter 2. Flip on over. Verse 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. Now, we're going to drive them out little by little. We know that. But it's not going to take forever. I believe in total delivery. I believe that we can get totally free and go on. Some of us are taking too long. But whatever you do, don't compromise. Now, what happens is we come to areas in our life and we fight and we fight and we fight for victory, and we can't seem to get and hold and maintain a victory. So what do? We settle for something less. I say, well, I can live with a little diabetes. I can live with a little anger, temper. After all, you know, it's righteous indignation most of the time anyway. And after all, the wife and I, we'll make it. We'll stay married some way. Now, that's not God. I made up my mind that I would not settle for anything but total victory. I have authority over these things. I don't have to have intercourse with them. And I'm for sure not going to bear any of their children. Don't marry them. Don't marry them. Or you'll end up like them. They were an ensample to us. They were for our teaching. Not that we should do like they did, but don't do like they did. Why didn't they drive them out? Fear. Fear. They got iron chariots. And the other one was greed. Well, they make nice tents. Look at the skills. Well, we'll make them our slaves. They can build tents for us. They can herd our cattle. They can carry our wood. Oh, this is a good deal. Let's keep a few of them around. King Saul had the same idea. Well, why kill all these cattle? I mean, God's people can use that. Well, we'll make sacrifice of these cattle, Lord. We need to make a sacrifice here. Let's don't kill all these cattle. Let's save them. You know how God feels about that. Hallelujah. So, I want to encourage you that you can be free to go on. You can be free. Don't get so caught up in the gimmicks and the technicalities of deliverance that you lose sight of who's setting us free. I see folks putting their faith in gimmicks. I see folks putting their faith in manifestations. I see folks putting their faith in things other than Jesus. He's the deliverer. He's the one that did it on the cross. And we go appropriate it. We are deliverers. Praise God. Praise God. And so, it's a faith ministry. And we minister in faith. And we cast out demons by faith. Praise God. All right. One last thing here. In Numbers 13, you don't turn there. Don't take time to turn there. We have the story of the spies that went out. Remember? They came back, 10 of them with an evil report. 2 of them with a good report. And what did all the children of Israel do? All night. They wept, moaned, cried, shook, and believe the evil report. Now, I believe that that's outer court. They died in the wilderness. They never went in. They never went in. That's outer court. From the point of Joshua and Judges up to 2 Samuel 7, and 2 Samuel 7, I'll just read it to you right quickly. It really wasn't the total end, but it says, "And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies." The king was able to go to his house, sit down, and all the enemies were subdued. Up to that point, it's a holy place. They were fighting the enemy. They did not completely destroy the enemy until finally a man with a heart, my own heart, that's what that means, a heart like the heart of God, came along. His name was David. And in the midst of all of his struggles with the flesh, old King Saul, he would take and have little warring parties, and he would go out here, and he would get the Amalekites, and he would go over here, and he'd wipe out a city, because he knew one day he'd be king. And he knew that whatever else, that he had to cleanse the land of the giants and the enemies. And so at the same time, he's having all this conflict with the flesh type, the old King Saul. He was still out slaying giants. And praise God, because of his diligence and persistence, he was able to have a son that could build a temple, and the land was at rest for 40 years. And God came into that temple and filled it. And the priest could not stand to minister. And that's the holiest of holies. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, we prayed this morning that we'd have our daily bread. And this is our daily bread. But the word also says that the giants of the land are our bread. Anybody want to eat a giant? It's what the word says. They are bread for us. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. God's, you know, the soul is a, don't hear me wrong now. The soul is a woman. It's a female. She's emotional. She's willful. And she's got a mind of her own. And there's a son in me that's trying to woo that woman. But there's also flesh that's trying to woo that woman. And every time she goes and gets in bed with the flesh, we have a manifestation of the works of the flesh. And we invite demons into our life, even as Christians. But there's a son in me that's wanting to woo her and implant his seed in her and bring forth his likeness. Praise God. Praise God. So I want to put down those seductions. The works of the flesh are manifest, and they are these, Galatians. And there's a list. We'll not take time to get into that. But with every manifestation of the flesh, there's a demon. There's a demon, just like with witchcraft, all the rest of them. Amen? Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray a moment. Would you just pray with me for a moment? The will of the Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Some of you came here, just go ahead and pray. And some of you came here with some specific needs. Some of you came here for some deliverance and some help. And I want you to just call on the Lord now for that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be healed, shall be saved, shall be made smooth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. We just lift up those needs right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Now, I want to begin laying groundwork for deliverance. And not only for today, but for the next 2 days. And we're going to go through a deliverance prayer and begin to break some of these things. Now, basically, this is how God revealed it to me. He's done everything that there is to be done for us. As brother said this morning, he's given us everything he can give us. And his work is finished. But the Father showed me that it's not automatic. I've got to appropriate it. I've got to activate it. It's God that worketh in me, both for me to will and to work according to his good pleasure. I've got to be a doer of the word. I can't just sit on a chair and listen and be completed. I wish it were true. I've got to be a doer of the word. This word's got to get up and walk. It's got to get out of my head, into my heart, and into my feet, as I've heard Kelly say. And so, when I cast out demons, I'm putting feet on the word of God. I preached in a dead pulpit so long, as a dead preacher, that one of my requests of the Father was this: Father, when I minister from this day on, let me minister the application of the word of God. Lord, let me teach it where people can take it and do something with it. I'm tired of teaching theology and theories and concepts. Lord, let me bring the practical word of God to your people. Something they can take hold of, do something with, and be changed by it. And I said, praise God for deliverance. Because I found something I can get my hand on, and I can do something. Not only in my own life, but in my church and in my city. We've moved from the suburbs into the inner city of Dallas. We're right in the midst of a homosexual center. There's over 60,000 of them in Dallas now. There are prostitutes in the area. There's gambling. There's drugs and everything. And what do you think we're doing? We're binding and loosing every day. We're coming against those kings and principalities. And I don't mean in theory. I mean we're saying in the name of Jesus, we bind you. We bind you with chains and with fetters in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. So, all of you do not need all of this. But some of you need some of this. There are things from your past that got in the land. And they're still there. They didn't automatically leave when you were born again. No more than you automatically got healed and glorified when you were born again. I don't see any halos in the room. Praise God. So we found out that there are some entities that we absolutely must deal with. They will not leave until confronted. So we're going to cover some of these areas. And we'll not have time to cover everything in just 3 sessions. I understand that. We've got a little book back there that we try to cover some of these key areas. And please, don't take the concept that I'm saying that everybody has gotten into all of this and you got all of this in you. No. We're trying to blanket cover a group of people. I believe Jesus had to minister to the masses. How could he, one by one, minister to 5,000 people? Impossible. Even though he was Jesus, he was still a man. So I believe he did group. I believe he did group deliverance. We don't see it. I believe he did group healings. Says, and he went into places, and all of them were healed. Every one of them. Praise God. I believe he had to do it in group. Don't you? All right. So we're gonna go through a prayer, and we're gonna cover a good spectrum of things that need to be renounced, specifically called out, and dealt with in your life. And we found out that this eliminates a lot of things and lays the ground for deliverance. In fact, people get deliverance while we're going through the prayer. All right? Okay, so I'm going to lead you in a deliverance prayer, and then we'll just see where the Holy Spirit takes us from there. Okay. Are you ready? Praise the Lord. As you feel comfortable, follow me in this prayer. Now, it's not a formula. We just found out it's a way to get free. Praise God. Dear Lord, with honesty of heart, humility of soul, and conviction of spirit, do I make the following confession. I've sinned against you and have disobeyed your word, whether it be through willfulness, ignorance, or curiosity. And I now repent of these sins and ask you to forgive me through the blood of Jesus Christ. But by an act of my will and in the name of Jesus, I close all those doors which I've opened to Satan. And I now ask you, dear Lord, to help me renounce all those things and cleanse me in body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the following. I renounce the occult. I renounce witchcraft and magic. Both black and white. Now, it seems strange that we would have... No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. You're doing good. It seems strange that we would need to do this. But I find many Christians that are ignorant of his devices. Brothers and sisters, there's things going on out there. And, you know, I asked the Lord one day. I just found that there's, in some cases, a lethargy in the people. Almost a dullness of hearing. And I just said, God, what is it? What is it? What is it? You know what the Spirit said? Television. Yes. It's like a drug to the mind. And it ministers, it's ministering witchcraft and magic. There's magic in the music and magic in the programs. There's magic there with seduction in it to cast a spell on you. And you may think I'm a disbeliever, but Christians can have spells cast on them. They perish for lack of knowledge. Hallelujah. I renounce all seances, clairvoyance, mediums, contact with familiar spirits, and UFOs. I renounce Ouija boards and all other occult games. I renounce all fortune telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, crystal balls, tarot, and other card laying, and pendulum. I renounce all astrology and interest in horoscopes and signs of the zodiac. I renounce the heresy of reincarnation and all healing groups involved in metaphysics. I renounce all hypnosis, mind reading, mind control, second sight, ESP, EST, and parapsychology. I renounce water witching, or dowsing, levitation, body lifting, table tipping, psychometry, automatic writing, and drawing and composing. I renounce astral projection and other demonic skills. I renounce all literature I've ever read in any of these fields, and vow that I will destroy such books in my own possession. I will also destroy any objects, pictures, signs, statues, jewelry, charts, which are on my person or in my house. Okay, that's one section now. Now, if you were blessed and grew up in a godly Christian home, this may not mean much to you. But when you came up like I did and got into what I got into, this was healing for my soul.
Amen. Praise God.
And God is calling people out of the highways and hedges today that they need to hear this. So don't be so stinking holy that you can't let some of us get free. Please, go do your holy thing and let us get free and we'll catch up with you. But this was deliverance. I'd been into not all of it, but a lot of this. And I was wrestling to get free. And it brought demons into my life. And they didn't want to leave. And one of the problems in the charismatic church today is demons doing gifts and everything else. And God help those that can't discern the difference. Let's go on. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the following. I break all curses, hexes, spells, jinxes, vexes, and charms placed on me from any occult source. I break the curse of illegitimacy 10 generations back off my family line. I break the curse of idolatry off my family line. I renounce any oaths I or my ancestors ever made to any false god, idol, false cult, or false religion. I renounce any initiation rite into any club, brotherhood, lodge, fraternity, sorority, or order, which is of demonic or witchcraft origin. Now let me say this. More and more, we're finding problems in people's lives, believers' lives, that are rooted in the Masonic lodge. And we find folks that they're struggling to get free, and we pray, and God says they're going to have to deal with masonry. And I was at one time a third degree Mason. I took the vows. I know what they are. It's out of the pit. It's witchcraft. I found out that it's the same vows that witches take to join a coven. It's the same vow that Mormons take when they do deep temple work. It's witchcraft. And it's dedicating to the devil. So we're not to take vows to cut out our heart and all these things. You need to get free of that. Now, you can get mad at me if you want to. But it's not harmless little work. One of these days, that thing's going to rise up and bite. God's going to protect us. I'm not afraid of it. But I tell you, when I broke association with the lodge, I had a fear in me. I didn't know what might happen. Because I'd taken some vows of life and death. And I thought somebody might come and get me for a while. That's how serious it is. So it's real. It's real. Now, get out of the lodge. Get out of the Eastern Star. Get out of those things. They're not for believers. They have nothing to do with God. The witches say that the most powerful witch that ever walked the face of the earth was King Solomon. He got into it. He married the wrong wives. He became a powerful warlock. And they all look back to him. The Masons look back to him. And yet he was God's man of peace. Boy, that was strong, wasn't it? I break all demonic subjection. Demonic soul ties. Our bondages to my mother, father, grandparents, spouses, ex-spouses, or any other human being, living or dead, who has ever dominated me or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. I break all curses of psychic heredity. All right, let me stop there. We found folks in the body that have brought psychic heredity into the assembly. Many times they don't bring it into the assembly because it'll get judged and checked. So what they do, they get a house group going. And they begin working in so-called word of knowledge and prophecy. And people get slain in the spirit, all these things. And it's not of God.
Right.
And that's why they won't bring it under authority.
Right.
And that's why they keep it in a house group. And that's why continually we're having to minister to Christians that got problems in their life from the transference of spirits that have come through false ministry. It sounds good, it looks good, but it's not of God. And that kind of teaching got me kicked off the radio in Dallas. But Dallas is full of that kind of junk. And the charismatic body's been full of it. I don't want to lay a heavy tomb on anybody, but it's the truth.
Right.
And you better get smart. And you better not let anybody lay hands suddenly on you.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if they won't submit unto authority and they won't align their lives in government, brother, you run from them. You run from them. Because there are psychic powers that will operate. And it'll look just exactly like the gifts of the Spirit. Now, that's the truth. We're living in perilous times. Hallelujah. But God's people will not be deceived. They'll almost be. You're going to go and get close, is what the Word said. All right. Hallelujah. The good news is we got some truth here. Hallelujah. I break all curses. Wait a minute, I've already said it. I break any curses of physical or mental illness off my family line. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce. Every cult that denies the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Every philosophy that denies the deity of Jesus Christ. Lord, I have another confession to make. I have not loved, but have resented certain people. I confess this as sin. I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. In Jesus' name. I want to take a moment, and we'll get into some more of this, but just take a moment and just bow your head and just say in the name of Jesus, I forgive. Make a decision and let go of some bitterness, some resentment, some anger toward any person, any organization, anything. I mean, just begin to purge yourself of it by making a decision that you're not going to hold a grudge anymore. You're going to forgive no matter what. No matter what's been done to you. No matter how badly you've been hurt. I know that one of the big things in this meeting that God wants to deliver us of and heal us of is the hurts and resentments and frustrations and angers of what we've been going through. Of the people that have been coming against us, criticizing us, persecuting us, betraying us, slandering us, all those things. We've got to get free of that. And we can in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit can just bring people to your mind if you'll just close your eyes and let Him minister to you. He's here in a powerful way. I just believe God's going to do some tremendous things. Hallelujah. I want you to forgive yourself too. Lord, I just forgive myself. Some of you really need to get off your case. Get off your case. You're lovely. He loves you. He wants you free. He's made a way for you to get free. Praise God. Between the ministry and the word and the praise, we're going to get free. I believe some of you in this meeting are going to get totally free of all demons. I believe that it's time for you to be free completely. Hallelujah. Now let's close with this. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and arose from the dead. You redeem me by your blood.
And I belong to you.
And I want to live for you. Now I come to you as my deliverer, claiming the promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. You know my special needs, the things that bind, torment, defile, those evil spirits, those unclean spirits. I call upon you now, Lord, to deliver me and set me free. Strong man, I bind you. Satan, I renounce you. And all your works. I loose myself from you. In the name of Jesus. And I command you to leave me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to minister to you a little bit in these areas of the occult and some of this witchcraft. That's what I feel led to do. Praise God. So what I want you to do, for some of you that are new to this, it'd be best you just put your Bibles and your notes down and just get relaxed. Uncross your legs. Uncross your arms. Out in the name of Jesus, brother. Yes, brother.
I asked a question. You made a mention a few moments ago of leadership within house groups bringing in the false teachings.
Sometimes.
Gifts of the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Are these people always aware of what they're doing?
No, they're not. Sorry to say they're not. See, what happens is, through the godliness passes down. You know, I got hold of this one day. I've taught on curses, and I don't like to teach on curses because it's so negative. And I said, God, give me a balance to this. It's got to be taught. I've seen more people healed and set free teaching on curses than anything, but I don't like to teach it. And the Lord says, well, I've said that I visit the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. And then the curse of illegitimacy goes 10 generations. So there's hardly any way to avoid it, that it comes down. Now, Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. But I still got to appropriate it. I got to be a partaker of the divine promises, and I reach out and partake of that. Now, there's the rub. See, there's the difference. All right. But he says that I visit my love and my blessings unto thousands of generations. I said, praise God. Somebody in my family tree was godly. None of them that I can now see living on the earth, but somebody was godly. Hallelujah. I don't know how far my family tree goes, but somebody was godly. And that's why God has changed my life. Because it's a blessing coming down upon me. Maybe 1,000 generations back. I don't care. I got it. Now, on the other hand, psychic powers will pass down. And anyone that has witchcraft in their family, you look back in your family and you had maybe a grandma or an aunt that she could heal warts, and she'd know when somebody was going to die in the family before they died. And, you know, people would go to her and she just had a lot of, quote, wisdom, unquote. And what we found out is that they will pass that down the family tree. They'll pick out one of the children in the next generation. I don't know how they do it, but they pass it down. Psychic power. And you'll find a woman that she'll just know when somebody's going to die. She'll know before somebody calls her. I think so-and-so's going to call me. Ring, ring, ring. Oh, hello, I knew you were going to call. Now, that's psychic power. And that's passed down. It's an anointing. Now, the good news is we can get rid of that. The problem is some folks are afraid to let it go. What'll I do? This is my ministry. People are coming to me. Well, what do? God's going to give you the real thing. But whether you get anything or not, get rid of that, because it's cursing you and your family. See, folks, we don't need psychic power. We don't need anything the devil's got. We don't even need to talk to demons to get people free. The Holy Spirit's got everything we need. He'll always tell us the truth. He'll guide us into all truth. And every time I activate my spirit to receive the Holy Spirit, I get edified. So everybody wins that way. Mind your own business. Don't be distracted. If, especially not pray. Just be submissive to the ministry. If something wants to leave, let it leave. And we just know that many times there'll be coughing. There'll be other so-called manifestations, sneezing, yawning, other things. The land vomiteth out her inhabitants sometimes. So it's a natural phenomenon to those in warfare. So just let it happen. And if nothing happens, don't worry about that. Just believe. I'm going to get free. All right. Now, all of these things that I deal with will not apply to you. But you might be surprised. Something might pop up and check out. Hallelujah. That's okay. All right. Just let it go. All right. In the name of Jesus Christ now, I bind the strong man. I bind every demon in the sound of my voice. I even bind you demons that have got people convinced that you're not there. I bind you in Jesus' name. I cut off your reinforcements. I cut off your replacements in Jesus' name. I bind all the powers in the second heaven. I bind your kings with chains and your nobles with fetters of iron. I bind you now, and I'm telling you that you're going to get out. I'm going to cast you out, all of you. Some of you already know you got to go. In Jesus' name, all of you spirits right now in the occult spirits, I command you to get out right now. Occult spirits, I command you to get out right now. I break all curses of the occult. You spirits that have come in through curses. You spirits that have been inherited.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.